How time flies. Last week, we welcome our pastor, Reverend Craig, to Sydney, and then he spoke at camp, and how quickly the week has gone by. And now, this afternoon, he and Mrs. Craig will be leaving us and returning to Singapore. Surely, we are going to miss them, and we have told them that they must come back again for our camp next year. All right? We will definitely want them to come back to us and minister to us. And this morning, it is my greatest pleasure to invite once again Reverend Craig to bring God's Word. The title of the message this morning is Godliness with Contentment. Reverend Craig.
Very warm greetings to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of Xiaowei, my wife, and myself to thank the Lord and to thank Elder Koh in the session for this kind invitation and to thank all of you as well for the sweet fellowship that we were able to have with all of you, especially at the camp. May the Lord continue to bless you and watch over and take care of this church, because to find a church that continues to preach the gospel and to fight the good faith of faith, that good fight of faith, is very, very hard. May God be merciful to preserve his people and to preserve this church, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. This morning we're going to look at a very important topic, godliness. Godliness must not be confused with holiness. Godliness describes our character, our nature. Holiness describes our life in Christ Jesus, how we obey the law and how we will do the will of God in our lives. But this morning, we are going to talk about godliness. The world loves money. The world believes that money makes the world go round, and without money, we cannot live. And so you find that the world will do whatever it takes to pursue after money. Money can make or break a person. When a person is bankrupt, he is at wit's end. He feels hopeless. He will do desperate things. Yesterday, they caught the man who murdered a father and a son. He ran away. He was a policeman, or it is alleged that he was the murderer. He was a policeman of 14 years. It had just been revealed that on the day when he killed, or alleged to have murdered, the father and the son, he was declared a bankrupt. He owed the bank to the tune of more than $60,000. And so he did a very desperate act. He murdered. If he is found guilty in Singapore, I'm sure you know that the penalty will be death. He was prepared to pay with his life when he took two lives. He was caught when he was in Johor, together with the Malaysian police. The Singapore police nabbed him within 56 hours, according to the newspaper. What a world we are living in. We fail to realize how precious our life is, and we spend most of it pursuing money, because we believe that money means everything to us. We wake up, before we go to sleep, we spend as many waking hours that we possibly can afford to make money. And we want more and more and more money. Do you know how rich is the richest man in the world? $73 billion. That's how much this man, Carlos Helu, probably, I think he is a Mexican, is worth. $73 billion. Second, Bill Gates, $67 billion, and there are many, many more who are in this billionaire club. Is this good? Is this what you are vying for? Work very hard to gain as much money as you possibly can, because you think that that is real wealth. We fail to realize how precious life is. Life on this earth, do you think it is worth it to spend your precious seconds that you have on this earth before you die? pursuing after what the world has dictated to us, money. It is sad when we think that without money we cannot live, when in fact it is without God we cannot live. Not money. We can do without money. There was a time when money never even existed, right? There was a time when people all trade according to bartering. If I want to eat chicken and I plant vegetable, I will exchange so much vegetable for one chicken. And if I want a bed, I will exchange so much vegetable, you help me make me a bed, to a carpenter. There was a time there was no need for money, but money was invented to make business easier. You don't have to carry tons and tons of vegetable everywhere you go to exchange for chicken, exchange for meat, exchange for furniture, exchange for a house. So now they invented money. And so money now has become our way of life. But very often we forget. We use the word we because the Apostle Paul himself used the word we in this passage. It is a concept that we as Christians must never forget. Gain is not godliness. If you think that gain is godliness, then you are most mistaken. The Bible tells us if any one of us think that gain is godliness, such people, we must stay far away from them. That's what verse 5 says. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such, withdraw yourself. Don't have anything to do with such concept, with such people who promote this kind of concept, because very soon, this kind of concept may creep into your mind and your heart, and you may become like them. You may forget that I am a child of God. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Godliness is not something that you can gain or earn or buy with money. Godliness comes when a person realizes that he has been forgiven of all his sin. He acknowledges and realizes that he has sinned. He was born in sin. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was able to wash away all his sin and take away all his sins from his life. Because when he confesses Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior, he acknowledges that he died with Christ. And because he has died with Christ, this life that he's now living is no longer his to live any way he likes. He must live the life of the new man. And the new man is one of godliness. He has now been given the character and the nature of God. That's why we are called sons and daughters of God. The world can't see this. But one day the world will see us when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and take us home to be with him and then descend on the clouds of glory. And then the world will see us for who we really are. In the glorified body. Visibly they're going to see externally how different we look. But at this point in time, the Bible says we are already sons and daughters of God, children of God. That means we have the nature of God. That means we are already godly because of Jesus Christ. If you die in your sin, you end up in hell. Why? Because once upon a time, we were like what the Bible described in verse 4 and verse 5. We were proud. We knew nothing. But all we cared about was doting about questions. Doting comes from the word sickly. We were so consumed by all kinds of questions and strife of words, whereof it has resulted in envy, strife, railings, evil, surmising, evil, suspicion. That had been our old way of life. Perverse disputing, arguing with men of corrupt minds about this money, that money. This is my money, this is your money. And you keep on fighting over land, over property, over inheritance, over money, money, money. Thinking that if I have lots of money, I am godly. I have a place in heaven. This is life. God says, from such you stay away. This must not be found in the heart and mind of God's children. After Jesus Christ has washed us of all our sins by his precious blood, God says you are already godly. But this godliness alone is not enough if we do not understand what it means to be godly, to have the nature and character of God. It has to be accompanied with contentment. Contentment means a person who is in a perfect condition of life, whereby he says and he knows, I have no need of anything extra. In other words, if I have Jesus Christ, I have everything. That's what it means.
As long as I have Jesus Christ with me, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I am a child of God, that's all I need in this life. I don't need anything more. I don't need any extra. I don't need money. I don't need house. I don't need the thank you of men. I don't need anything, because Jesus is everything. Therefore, you can take away everything else and I will have lost nothing. You can even take away my family and I will have lost nothing. That's what it means by godliness with contentment. I'm so thankful that I am a child of God. I don't need anything more. I don't need to get that master's degree. I don't need to get that extra postgraduate degree. I don't need to get extra promotion. I don't need to get that extra bonus. I don't need any of these things because I have God. And all I want to pursue is God. And all I want to know more is God. Because God has promised us, if I seek after Him, if I seek after righteousness, all these things He will add to me. And He will give us three reasons in this passage, from verse 6 to verse 9. Three very great reasons why godliness with contentment is all that you need. Number one, he says, it is great wealth. Great gain. This is real wealth. Now, how do you measure wealth? I was checking on the internet about some of these wealthy people, how they live. There's this movie star who just paid $30-40 million US to buy a huge mansion on one island where the person will have her own private beach. And then the mansion will have 7 bedrooms, don't know how many, 12,000 square feet, 9 bathrooms. And they took a picture of this. It was beautiful, it was spectacular. Where the background, you see the ocean, and then this huge mansion right on top of this hill. And this all belonged to this person who paid $30-40 million for it. Of course, this person must earn more than that in order to buy that kind of house. And then it is reported that this person has many more houses in many different parts of America, in New York, in California, so many houses. And this is just one of many. You think this is good? This is great gain? This is what you aim towards? You work so hard, 8, 9, 10 hours, to end up like that, to become like this? This is what you spend your precious life on earth targeting, aiming toward? And you consider this as great gain, mega gain, a big house? It's a mega headache. Isn't it true? Texas. Now these houses, homes that this person has will be all furnished. All the bedrooms are furnished with her clothes and everything. Now imagine she put on weight. Wow, now I've got to change all the wardrobe in all my 10 homes. You know the headache or not? Instead of changing 5 pair of pants, I could change 50 pair now. True? If there is a fire here, a fire there, oh, the insurance, everything, multiply 10 times. 10 homes, 10 times of headaches. Isn't it true? You have one home, the more home you have, the bigger the home, the bigger the headache. Is that not true? You've got to clean it, you've got to look after it. If there's a leakage, the nightmare has just started. You think that is gain? That is real wealth? The accumulation of large amount of money, homes all over the world. I can travel first class. I can even charter my own private jet. All these is great gain? That's what the world thinks. It's understandable. Because as far as the world is concerned, they want to build heaven on earth. They think that if they have a luxurious, comfortable life, they can get whatever they want in life. They can buy anything that money can buy. That is life. That is living. That is gain. That is wealth. Really? That is what? That's how you measure wealth? When you are sickly, when you are languishing in bed, when you are dying, when cancer knocks on your heart's door and the doctor tells you, you only have 6 more months. You think what comes into the mind of this person who has 10 homes and have millions and millions of dollars, you think the homes and the millions of dollars will bring any comfort to the soul? You think it will bring comfort? The person spent his entire life now in their 70s, and then now the doctor says, you only have 6 more months to live, maybe. If the disease doesn't inflame itself and gets out of control, if you continue to seek treatment, half of these 6 months you'll probably be in the hospital with all kinds of tubes in your body. That's all you have. Sure, you can have the best doctor, best hospital, best medicine, but that is going to be the last few moments of your life on this earth, and you have spent it all thinking that this is gain. Now, this is repeated over and over and over again in the past. I purchased one book for about $3 from Popular when they were throwing all these books away. And the title of this book was about poor, little, rich people. Because these were the lives of sons and daughters of multi-millionaire and multi-billionaire. They never had to work a day in their life. They were literally born with a golden, platinum, silver spoon in their mouth. They can spend $1 million a day for the rest of their life. If they live up to 70 years, they would not even dent their inheritance. That's how rich these people were. And then at the end of their lives, the book was called Poor. Why are they poor? Because when they die, they were all alone. They had multiple marriages, multiple divorces. They don't even have a proper friend. They did not know whether the person liked me or liked my money. And so even when they were genuine, sincere friends who tried to befriend and be nice to them, they became very suspicious. Are they liking me because of who I am, or do they like me because of my $1 million a day that I could spend? You look at the pictures of their homes and their houses, there are all kinds of decoration, gold encrusted, silverware, and they were so opulent that you can't even imagine that somebody would live in this manner, perhaps even only for kings and queens. But these people are just ordinary mortals, born in this kind of environment, and they die in this kind of environment, and that was it. They live and they died all alone. And in between, from the day they were born to the day they died, one big giant chasm of emptiness. No friends. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't do anything. What did they contribute to this world after they died? Zero. They just live. They spend money, they buy, they gamble, they drink. They commit all kinds of terrible sin. That's all they have. And that was it. And then they die. Now what kind of life is this? You think this is gain? That's it. That was their life. They spent every second spending, traveling. They're beginning to travel anywhere in the world in the best yacht, the best airplane. And then what? Tomorrow, same thing again. The best yacht, the best airplane. And then tomorrow, same thing. Best yacht, best airplane. And then that's it. You think that is gain? God says godliness with contentment, having the nature of God, and be very contented and thankful. That's who I am. I am a child of God. I have been saved and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All my sins have been taken away. I'm no more an enemy of God. I can call God my Father, and I can pray to Him. I have a personal relationship with Him, and I am so thankful that I have this. And that's all I need. Everything else is just a time of ministry, a time of witnessing, a time of serving my Lord, and to tell the world that there is a Savior, that there is this Jesus Christ who is able to wash away all your sins and transform your life and make you like Him, like God Himself, just as He has touched my life. And I want to share with you and touch your life with the same message that someone brought to me and touched my life, and I want to do the same for you. You know how wonderful a life it is to live this way? To go out and to tell the world every morning you wake up, Lord, where do you want to send me? Who should I now tell the gospel to today? Use me. And then you go out and then you talk to 5, 10 people today. At the end of the day, you lie down in bed, you thank God, Lord, for 5 to 10 opportunities I could tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next morning, you wake up, Lord, who do I reach out to today? And day after day, with this kind of wealth, this kind of relationship with God, communing with Christ, isn't this wonderful? You think there can be anything that the world can offer that can even come close to add to this par excellence experience that you already enjoy? Isn't this great gain? Isn't this great wealth? To have an intimate personal relationship with God And if you are told by the doctor, 6 more months to live, praise the Lord. Lord, I have 6 more months to serve you, and after that, I come home. No need to serve you anymore. I can come home. Whether I'm in hospital, I can witness to the nurses and doctors. Whether I have tubes stuck all over my body, as long as I can pray, as long as I have life, I will share and I will be a godly witness. It doesn't change. External circumstances does not change godliness with contentment. Whether I'm physically healthy or I'm physically sickly, it does not matter. I can still witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what godliness with contentment entails. I tell people about Christ. I tell my children. I tell my grandpa. I tell my mom. I tell my friends. I tell everybody about Christ. And that will not change with the external circumstances, neither with your health. As long as there is breath in your body, your life is rich. Your life is godliness with contentment. That is why I don't like to hear people say, you know, we have a baby inside the womb, and the baby, the doctor says, may be born not so normal, will be this and that, no quality of life, and therefore maybe you should abort. Now, this kind of terrible advice, you're telling me no quality of life, so therefore I should take a life? So when you have an old folk who doesn't have any more quality of life, he's in a wheelchair, he's bedridden, most of the time he has to go in and out of hospital, no more quality of life? Who decides what's quality of life? He is a child of God. The quality of life that the child of God enjoys is godliness with contentment. It is not about physical mobility. The person has breath. As long as he has breath, his quality of life is his witness, his relationship with God Almighty. Don't you agree? It's not about material things, it's about mobility. Go here, go there. That's got quality. Can climb Mount Everest, that's quality. Can travel on a cruise, that's quality. That is not quality, that is deadness. The Bible tells us this kind of life, you stay far away. Don't have anything to do with this kind of life. Quality of life is godliness with contentment. That is true quality, because God says that is mega wealth. Nothing can take that away from you. Satan cannot take that away. Disease, sickness, death cannot take that away from you, because your relationship with God, your godliness that you have with God on this earth, surrounded by a world of sin and evil and sickness, you still have this rich life. God says that is great wealth. Nothing can take that away from you. All the other so-called gain or wealth that the world offers, the moment you are sickly, you think you're going to want to eat the best food? You think you're going to be bothered about sleeping on the best, most comfortable bed, flying in the most important, comfortable airplane? You think all these things? You just ask a rich person who is sick, you just read about their life. You just read about the last words of all these powerful, very rich people who do not know Christ. You read about their last words. The things that come to their mind will not be their money, their wealth, and so on. If they can just give away their billion and buy from the doctor another 10 seconds, they would do it. But doctor says, I'm sorry, I can't even give you 1 second. Don't ask me for 10. You can give me all the money you want. I can't even extend your life 1 second. And you spend your whole life accumulating all these things which you have been taught and told that this is great gain. But in reality, it is nothing but vanity, emptiness. Emptiness. You know, the air here is very good. I wish I could get a bottle and then cap it and bring back to Singapore. I have more success capping this cold air, bring back to Singapore, than you have. Thinking that collecting all these material things equals wealth. True? Isn't it? You think very carefully. We are surrounded by testimonies, evidences of people who have done it and wasted it. Don't tread that pathway. Don't waste one more second of your life. Especially if you are a child of God. If you are truly born again, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You know all your sins have been forgiven. You know you are bound for heaven, no longer bound for hell. And your life here on earth, you can't live any way you like anymore. You can't live for self, you can't live for money, because that would be sinful. That's why the Bible says you withdraw yourself from these so that you can withdraw closer to God. And then once you understand godliness with contentment, it is great gain, great wealth. Second argument, great logic. The Bible used great logic. You look, For we brought nothing into this world. Isn't that true? We brought nothing into this world. You know of anyone who is special who brought something to this world? You know of any baby, even the multi-billionaire baby, when they born to this world, yeah, they may be born with a silver spoon, right? That's a figure of speech, right? Of course, if there's a silver spoon, when they come out, oh, I've got a silver spoon, you've got a shock of your life. That's a figure of speech. I hope you know that, right? Born with a silver spoon, a platinum spoon in his mouth. That is a figure of speech. When a child is born into this world, the child is naked. You know of any child, even the prince, right? The prince of England. When they come out into this world, and I think Kate Middleton, right? That's her name. She's going to have a baby soon, right? Now you write to her an email. Please let me know whether the baby is born with... not silver spoon, with royal garment. With some kind of royal robe, you know, not like us, you know, naked. Right, naked, right? You see whether the baby will come up with a royal garment? Inside the mother will just come out. She's a queen, right? Princess, right? Whatever you want to call her, all kind of titles she has, right? Come out, the baby will still be like all babies. Naked, true? Naked. We brought nothing into this world, naked, absolutely nothing. The hands are empty, the feet empty, everything empty. And it is certain, the Bible says, 100% definite evidence. You can carry nothing out. You can take nothing out of this. When you get out of this life, get out of this world, you're going to take nothing out. Yeah, we will try to dress you up, and the Chinese are very good now. They make all this kind of paper aircon, paper computer, paper iPhone, paper everything. So they burn it, hoping that when you die, all these things will accompany you. They all turn to ashes, and that's where it will be, ashes. Nothing will accompany them, so please don't have to waste hundreds and thousands of dollars buying all these fake houses, fake mansions, fake airplanes, fake all kinds of gadgets, and then you burn them in front of this coffin, hoping that the person, when he dies, all these things will accompany him. It will not happen. Nothing. Because this person, when you bury him, will turn to dust, because he came out of dust, and he will return to dust. You cremate the person, what do you get? Dust. That's exactly what we came out of, and exactly what we will become. And you think that any of these material things will make any difference? You think this Carlos Helu, 73 billionaire, you think when he dies he can bring 1 billion with him? He can't even bring 1 peso, 1 cent with him. Isn't that true? He came into this world with nothing. And everything that he accommodated and he gains that he got from this world will be left behind, and he is going to leave this world with the same, nothing. He came in with nothing, and he will get out with nothing. He brought nothing in, he will carry nothing out. Plain and simple. It is clear. Everywhere in Singapore, there's this place called Choa Chu Kang, right? Cemetery. Right next to, not immediately next to, within the same vicinity, you have Reverend Timothy Toh's cemetery. A tombstone is there. Reverend Toh's name is there. A few places away, you have the tombstone of a man called Ng Ting Fong. Don't know whether you know him. Supposed to be one of the richest men in Singapore. He carried nothing in. He brought nothing in, he carried nothing out. Reverend Toh brought nothing in, he carried so many things out with him. Do you know that? But not one grain of sand that is of this earth. He carried with him all the things that he has done for the Lord Jesus Christ. He carried with him all the many blessings that we all receive through his life of obedience in Christ Jesus. Same burial ground. Supposed to be a Christian cemetery. Now, whether Mr. Ng Ting Fong was a believer or not, I do not know. But if he was not a believer, he can't bring 1 cent of his millions of dollars with him. He lived the life of a millionaire after he made his millions. But when he came into this world, he brought nothing in. When he left this world, he carried nothing that is of this world out of with him. Zero. Every cent, every inheritance, it will be given to his children or to whoever that he place in his will, but that's it. Now, this is a logic that you cannot argue, because it is everywhere. whether it's Australia, in Singapore, America, any part of the world, it's the same. Every baby born to this world throughout the ages, throughout the aeons, whether it is 21st century AD or 21st century BC, it does not matter. Born into this world, you brought nothing in. When you die, you carry nothing out. Unless you are a child of God. All that you have done for Jesus Christ will follow you, Jesus tells us. Will follow you when you die. All that is done for the Lord Jesus Christ will be remembered by God because you are His child. You are the children of God and your hands have been washed by the blood of Christ. Now you can serve the Lord and God will remember you. And therefore, it makes no sense for us who now have had clean hands washed by the blood of Christ to put our hands into the filth and the dirt that we have been delivered out of. We are no better than a dog going back to its own vomit if we ever, ever do that. As children of God, all we care about now is how to make more and more money. Then you have wasted the salvific work of Jesus Christ in your life and allowing you to remain on earth. And instead of being a godly witness, you have failed Him because you have been a carnal, worldly witness. Don't do that. Isn't it true that all you and I need is food and clothing? Let us therewith be content. That's all we need, isn't it? As long as you have food and clothing, it does not matter what kind of food. It does not matter what kind of garment. Why are you and I so fashion conscious? Why must we wear branded goods? Why must we think that if I wear branded goods, then I become a somebody? That's the philosophy of the world. The philosophy of the world keeps on telling us, you wear all these expensive watches. You know, there are some of these watch shops. Yeah, the people who sell these watches, they wear this, you know, coat and tie, you know. Then when I look at them from outside, well, how to go into this kind of shop? I wear like this and they wear like that. Then when I look at all these watches that they display on the outside, I dare not even go in there and ask them for the watches that they don't display. Probably the display watches are the cheap ones. The ones that they hide underneath those counters when they take out to show special customers must be far more expensive than those that they display. So look at some of these watches. Very intricate, very elaborate in design. Try to look at the figure. Oh, $35,000. Then another one, $105,000. Then another one, $67,000. I say, who in their right mind will pay that kind of money to just put a little timer on his hands? There must be, because this shop has been still there, it's not closed down. So there must be some people who will buy that, right? They will spend this kind of money. So they walk around with this $100,000 watch in their hand. So their suit, of course, it cannot be 50 cents, right? So their clothes also must be some kind of brand. Then their shoes, their socks, their pants, every part of them. So they walk around, wow, feeling great now. I'm a $100,000 man or more. They walk around. And these are the things that they take pride in. So they walk around with their head up, and then probably they drive those expensive sports cars that will cost $2 million. So they get in there, and then when they drive by, they vroom, vroom. And so they go, all look, wow, not that kind of thing. I think that is life. I think that is great. The Bible says, all I need is just some food and then some clothes to wear. Doesn't matter what brand, whether it is fancy brand, all these branded goods, or some kind of brand that's called White Elephant or whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as it's a garment, I'm decent, I'm not indecent, I'm okay. Whatever the food is okay, I just eat. That's it, to keep my body alive so that I can serve the Lord. Don't have to go to some special place to order some special chicken rice. The most expensive chicken rice that I heard will cost about $35,000. Because they fly from one country to another country to feed this person. Crazy, isn't it? Fly from point A to point B just to have a dish. These people, they have so much money that they think this is life. You see, this is good, you see. Then the whole world will tell you, see, my chicken rice cost so much. I flew from this part of America to the other part of America, private jet, just so that I can eat my plate of chicken rice. You know what comes out? Steel chicken. Same stuff, isn't it? Just as smelly as is a 350 one. True? You think this is life? You see, the logic that God gave us, you cannot argue. Because you've seen it, you yourself have witnessed it, you know it. You know how truthful God's word is. The great wealth that we have is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this body of ours do not need more than just food and clothing. It doesn't matter what kind. If you measure yourself by the garments you wear, by the kind of food you eat, the kind of places you go to, then you are a very empty person. Because once you're stripped of all these things, what are you? Truly, what are you? You take away the $100,000 watch. You take away all his garments. What are you? You measure yourself by all these external things that you put on, then you are a nobody, isn't it? Then you are really, really cheap. God's children, you measure yourself every morning you wake up, not because I have this degree, I have that degree, I have this house, I have this car, I am somebody, and therefore I can walk around with confidence. You don't walk around with confidence because this kind of confidence is dangerous and destructive. Why do you think God had to spend 40 years to strip Moses of all his worldly confidence? 40 years of his life in Egypt, he picked up all the worldly confidence. Rubbed shoulders with Pharaoh, rubbed shoulders with all the powerful men, lived in the palace for 40 years. And Moses thought, I can now take my people Israel out of Egypt. He failed. Then he spent the next 40 years looking after the father-in-law's sheep in the back part of the wilderness. 40 years to strip him of all his self-confidence, all his worldly confidence, so that now he is empty inside. God can now begin to put in God confidence. And that's why when God called him, Moses said the right thing. When God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and take my people out. Who am I? That's correct. It's not who you are that you're going to go and bring my people out of Egypt to do God's will. It's not who you are. And God said, it's who I am. It's who I am. And Moses learned that for the next 40 years of his life. When you want to serve God, you think it's because of who you are with $100,000 watches, your fanciful car. And so now I'm coming to serve the Lord. Who are you? God says, you brought nothing in, you're going to bring nothing out. Isn't that true? You don't believe? Don't try it. Because by the time you try it and you realize it, it's too late. It's all over. Don't try it. Because your time continue to tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Whatever you do, it's going to flitter away. Don't try it. Please. You're going to be like the rest that are now buried in their sin and now spending eternity in hell. Don't try it. And if you are a child of God, don't try it also. Because you're going to weep and you're going to cry like Lot. Every day he woke up on earth, he was vexed in his spirit because he witnessed his own children falling one by one to the sickness of the world and the sins of the world when he languished in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't try it. The souls of your daughters, your sons, they are at stake. You may go to heaven, but you're going to not find your sons in heaven, not your daughters in heaven. They're going to end up in hell because of their sin. Don't try it. The evidence that God has demonstrated before us according to this wonderful logic that you cannot argue, it is certain you will bring nothing in and you will carry nothing out. And that no man, no king, no power, no army can change. Because when death strikes, it's all over. Isn't it true that all you need is just food and clothing? Thank God for what God has given to you. Don't focus on these things. Because when you focus on these things, there is a price. So great wealth, that's what godliness will bring. Great logic, to maintain this so that you will not forget it. Great protection. You look at verse 9. For they that will be rich... The word will there is not the future, I will not. This word will there means I focus my mind and I toy deliberately, I aim toward this direction. That's what it means. And they that aim toward this direction to be rich, live their life with this goal to be rich. That's what the word means. With this goal to be rich, they have fallen into temptations. They have fallen into a trap, a snare. A snare is what a hunter will place. To trap their birds, to trap their prey. That's exactly what you have fallen into if you aim to be rich. So don't aim to be rich. You aim to become godly and maintain this godliness with obedience to God's word, through the study of God's word, through prayer, through service. The moment you shift this aim and you aim toward wealth, because that's the only alternative, you're going to fall. You're going to fall into temptation and snare, and then the next step, it's going to be worse. There will be many foolish and hurtful desires. That's the word lust. Lust means desires. It's going to ruin you. It's going to kill you. It's going to make you do a lot of foolish, stupid things. And then at the end of your life, it's going to drown you in destruction, and then perdition is hell. It will destroy what you have, and then you'll find yourself in perdition that is in hell. But godliness with contentment can protect you from all this. I read in the papers a few years back about this military captain. It came in the papers, not for good. In that news article, this captain had never been to a casino before, had never gambled in a casino before. So one day his friends invited him. Want to go to casino. See, the two casinos in Singapore, we may only have two in numbers. But the volume of money that exchange hands is so huge and so large that it is said, okay, that in a few years' time, it's going to become number one. It's going to overtake Las Vegas. It has already overtaken Macau. Macau has casinos practically in every hotel. It's not the number, it's the volume of money that exchange hands in these hotels that is very frightening. You have people who are multi-millionaire and they can lose $2-3 million a week and they won't even bother about it. It won't even make them sweat. There are such people entering this casino. So this captain, a company or his friends invited, what do you try, come. So he went and then he tried. So he tried one of these, you know, last time it's called one arm bandit, now it's called one button bandit, because now you press a button. Then the thing comes and the money comes out. So he tried. And then because he tried, I think he must have won or something. And he got hooked. And now he started to dream and want more money the fast way. Now he was a captain in the army, happily with his wife, with his children, with his savings. Everything was going on fine until that moment when he went into the casino and he got hooked. And so he started gambling. He started gambling and he started gambling and he lost more and more. Then he lost his soul savings. And then he lost his home. Then he started to borrow money from the loan sharks. Then he lost more money at the casino. Then he couldn't pay up. So the loan sharks came after him. And so he begged for mercy. And also said, okay, very simple. You help us collect money from others who owe us money. So every time you help us collect, we will deduct a certain amount. So he said, okay. Because that's the only way he could reduce his loan, to finish off his loan. So he started collecting money. As a captain, of course, not as a captain, dressed as a captain, during his free time after his stint in the army, after he's finished his eight to five job, whatever it is, in night time he'll go around and collect money. And in some cases, he has to throw acid, he has to throw paint bomb in homes and all that to damage their doors and their gates just to frighten them into giving the money. And then he was caught. And that's how his life appeared in the newspaper, after he was caught. And so his whole life came before the whole nation, for the whole nation to read. You think he will remain a captain? They sacked him. You can forget about your pension. And then he was caned, sent to prison. His wife divorced him. Children, everybody left him. What will he do after he comes out of prison? I don't know whether he's still in or out of prison. This was a couple of years back or more, after the casino came into Singapore. He willed himself to be rich. He fell into temptation and a snare. And then he did many foolish and hurtful lusts. Wasted his life savings. Lost his home. Lost his family. Borrowed money from loan shark. And then he drowned himself in destruction and perdition. If he does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes out of prison, what will he have? He has absolutely nothing. He used to have a nice career. And in the army, if you serve faithfully, at the end of your stint, they will give you a nice, handsome pension. They take care of your medical bills. They take care of everything. He threw everything away. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost literally his life. All because he willed to be rich. And all these things happen to, and as you know, this is not just the exception. This is the norm. This is the way of all those who will to be rich. And there will be many who are exactly like him. I hope there is none here who is like him or who plans to be like him. Godliness with contentment is great protection. Because you and I, if you do not have godliness and you do not continue to seek God and become more and more like Christ and like God in your nature and your character, this is going to be the result. Please don't think that because I'm a Christian, it will not happen to me. Don't ever, ever think that way. That kind of pride is the beginning of the fall. The moment you think it will not happen to you, it has already happened. The moment you think that it can happen to you is when you are supposed to be on very, very careful sentry. Your sentry will be very alert. You guard yourself. You guard your own heart and you guard your mind so that I will not lose my focus. I am now a child of God. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. I don't want to become like this. I don't want to aim to be rich. So please don't think that because we are pastors, it will not happen to us. There are many pastors who have also fallen into this death trap. Very, very often at the beginning, when they just came out of seminary or Bible college, they have all these ideals. They have nothing. And so they prayed and depended upon the Lord a lot. And then suddenly their ministries begin to blossom and they become more and more famous and more wealthy. They forget. Please don't think that this will not happen to anyone. Sure, you will not lose your salvation. You will not enter into perdition because the perdition is the same word that is used to describe someone who is in hell. But when you are a Christian and you live a life like this, even though you may not lose your salvation, if you are truly born again. But it is not true that what Lord experienced when he was on earth, it was as if he was living hell on earth. Because when judgment came, fire and brimstone to destroy Sodom. He went out to witness to his married daughter and his son-in-law. They told him, "You are kidding, right, Dad? Get up." And then fire and brimstone came a few hours later. The people all died screaming and yelling. The fire just destroyed them. Every home, every human being. And when you look at Lot's life and his wife and his two daughters, two angels were sent by God to take them out. If you read the text carefully, they have to be held by the hand and literally be dragged out. They did not run freely, willingly. They were literally dragged out. It was so easy to bring them out of Sodom, but it was so hard to take Sodom out of their heart. Because they were so much entrenched and involved in the things of the world. That when they were sent into the mountaintop, the daughters got the father drunk and they slept with the father. And they committed incestual relationship. What kind of morality did the father pass on to the daughters that the daughters would do such a thing to him? And that was the end of Lot. That would be the final word that God had to close the chapter in Lot's life. He had absolutely nothing. He lost all that he has built up in Sodom. It was destroyed by fire and brimstone. All his businesses, all his money, all his wealth, all gone. And what did he have at home? Two sons. Oh, sorry. Is it sons or grandson? Isn't it true? Are they his sons or are they his grandsons? Because they came from his daughters. And you know the daughter's name, one of them? Moab. Moab. You know what's Moab? Moab. Mo means who? Av is Abba. Who is my father? Which is true. Who is my father? You tell the boy, who is your father? But that's grandpa. But that's also father. You see the confusion? You want your life to end like that? Full of confusion. Then the other one, Ami. My people. She was still remembering her people. Who were her people? Sodom. Name the sons after that kind of life. And every time you call the two children, Ami, Ami, my people, what people do you have? You're destroyed by fire and brimstone. You want to remember that kind of people? Fornicators and homosexuals? And you name your son after that? And then the other daughter named him Moab. Who is my father? You know the great confusion? That was the end of his life. You want your life to end in confusion that all people think of is Moab, Ami. As a child of God, don't leave behind that legacy to your family members, to your children, to your friends. You are a child of God. God has made you godly in Christ Jesus. Godliness with contentment thankful to God for all that God has blessed you with. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Please understand this. The problem is when people aim, that's the word, that they will be rich. They aim to be rich. That's the problem. You see, Daniel and Joseph, the dreamer, they were the best examples in the Bible, and the Lord deliberately did not record any black mark, any blemish in their lives. Daniel and Joseph, they were promoted to the highest office. They enjoy the life of a king, literally. Daniel was second only to Nebuchadnezzar. Joseph was second only to Pharaoh. They never forgot God. God was still foremost in their mind. Please don't think that poverty equals spirituality, wealth equals carnality. That is not the teaching of the Bible. The problem is aiming toward riches. Joseph never did, neither did Daniel. They never sought to be promoted. All they wanted to do was to determine in their heart never to sin against God. All they wanted to do was to be as godly as possible and to be contented with whatever God gave to them. And so when God promoted them, it does not affect them in their relationship with God. They continue to want to be godly. You can take the promotion away and they still be godly. You can give them the promotion, they still be godly. They were not affected by this kind of promotion. So Daniel continued to conduct himself well. Same for young Joseph. He conducted himself very well. Now remember, when Daniel was brought in, he was just a teenager. Maybe 12, 13 years old. After his 3 years, he may be maybe 15, 16 years old, and then he was promoted. So young people, please don't think that this is only for the adults. That I cannot be godly. You can be godly. Daniel was just your age, a teenager. And he was like this for the next 70 years of his life until the Lord took him home. Godliness with contentment can only grow deeper and stronger with the passing of time as you walk closely with God. Don't be like a dog going back to its own vomit. Life is like a man holding in his hand a bag of sand. And the bottom of this bag of sand is a hole. And this sand will just keep releasing itself. And underneath, before we were born again, is this container. And this container is filled with sin, worldliness, carnality. Now that we are born again, this same bag of sand is still there. How big is the bag of sand? How much sand you have left, only God knows. But before we were born again, we have already lost so much time. And all that we have done, this sand represents the sands of time. We have really wasted so many hours, weeks, and months, and years of our life, emptying our life into this container that was filled with wickedness, evil, sin, and filth, and smelly. And now that we are born again, we now have a new container. This container is called godliness. This container is fragrant. This container is pure and good and kind and wonderful. Now this bag of sand is your life. The sand keeps on falling. Now, where do you want this bag of sand to fall over? Is it still this old container? Or is it now this new container? Your choice, brothers and sisters in Christ. You now have this new container. The sand keeps on falling because that's time. Time doesn't wait for us. You can't patch up the hole. The hole is there and the sand keeps on falling. How much sand you have left in this bag, only God knows. If you are in your 60s and 70s, and if the Lord says 70 years and 10, your bag is nearly empty. The sand is going to fall through. The moment the last grain of sand falls through, it's all over. Don't let it hover over this dirty, filthy container anymore. Because now we have an option. We have a choice. As a child of God, we have a choice. This bag of sand is your life. And the sands of time keeps on dripping and falling and falling. Let it be over this container called godliness, not sin. This was the old life. Let the rest of our life on this earth, let the remaining amount of sand, let it be over this wonderful container. Won't you? Godliness with contentment. That's exactly what it is. Don't change. This is all that you need. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Your patience and for Your long-suffering in dealing with all of us, especially all of us who are Your children.
For you have saved us and allow us to remain on this earth for a purpose, for a time such as this, as we see this world heading toward destruction. May we be salt and light in a world that is in darkness. May we learn, O Lord, what it means to have godliness with contentment in our hearts, never to will to be rich, for we brought nothing into this world and we will carry nothing out, except when we are your children. All that we do in Christ Jesus will follow us when we leave this world. We thank thee, Father, for this blessed hope and this promise that you have given to us in Holy Scriptures. Sanctify, O Lord, all your children, all of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. May we examine our lives, for we hold in our hands this bag of sand, which is the remaining years that we have on this earth. May we spend it serving thee, loving you, knowing that one day we will have to give an account to thee, O Lord, and how we have lived this life that you have redeemed with Christ's precious blood. May none of us be found wanting, but all of us may hear from you say to us, "Welcome home and well done, my good and faithful servant." We pray, Father, for some in our midst who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. May the message this morning speak to their hearts, for they came into this world with nothing, and they will carry nothing out. May they realize that they are in sin, and if they were to die in their sin, they will be found in hell. O Lord, you love them. You sent Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to die for their sins, to die for them. Help them, O Lord, to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they may know what it means to have godliness with contentment. For you have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for them by raising Jesus Christ from the dead for their justification, so that their sins can all be forgiven. O Lord, may thou be merciful, and may thy word proclaim not return unto thee void, but will accomplish all that thou hast purposed for the saving of lost souls and for the sanctifying of the saints. For this we ask with thanksgiving and always for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.